My name is Harrison Crooks. I'm a sports content creator specializing in NIL and building a personal brand. You're listening to the Pro Sports Podcasters.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters, where no sport is left behind.
It's time for another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters with your hosts, Nee Wallace Bruce, Corbert Durand, and Justin Williams.
On this podcast, we have guests from all over the world covering every sport from artistic gymnastics to weightlifting.
We have something for every sports fan on PSP. Whether your interests are the athletes playing the game, the coaches, or the media, we've got you covered.
Fun and informative, honest and engaging. You won't want to miss a single episode. So let's kick this off. Sign up to SoRare, the ultimate fantasy sports NFT platform. Scout, collect, and trade officially licensed digital player cards. Create teams with cards from your collection and earn points based on your players' real-life performances to compete in a variety of fantasy sports competitions.
SoRare is a game that you can play this season and the next and the next and the next. It's almost like a dynasty spin on fantasy. It's available in formats such as NBA, MLB, and also football, the World Game. So what are you waiting for? Get involved. Get in the game. Get some cards and have some fun. You just sign up, create an account, and then you can start playing. And if you want to go a little bit harder and purchase some limited, rare, or unique cards, you can do that too. But at a base level, this is really just a free, fun way to play with your mates and show who's really in the know when it comes to sports. So hit the link in the show notes, and we'll see you on SoRare. Own your game.
Welcome back to the Pro Source Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nicholas Bruce, and we've got a fun action-filled show for you today. So make sure, if you haven't already, you jump onto that subscribe button and get all of our episodes. And leave a review if you can, because it helps our co-hosts sleep at night. Isn't that right, Justin Williams?
Oh my gosh, yes it does. And for love of God, for love of everything holy in this world, please leave a comment on our iTunes. We love all 10,000 followers. Thank you so much. You leave comments everywhere else, but people are like randomly boycotting Apple. I don't know, but stop boycotting them and leave comments. Right, Kobe?
100%, man. My Christmas was like maybe a C+ this year, but if you want to boost things for me, a couple of comments will make that a B. I'll be up there.
A. I would make it an A.
Will you go with an A?
No, I'm saying what would make it an A?
I mean, a whole bunch of comments, like 5-star comments that talk about how fantastic we are.
No, that's fair. I'll take it.
I'll make it an A.
Yeah.
But we're not alone.
No, we've got a very special guest. And speaking of A's and B's and C's, he's going to teach us a little bit about N, I, and L, the name, image, and likeness of the collegiate athletes in the NCAA, and how student athletes can start making some money, because it's about darn time they start to get paid for their exertions on the field of play. So without any further ado, it's time to bring in a content creator who is based in New York. He's actually from the GTA, so it's kind of like a homecoming for him. He's going to teach us about NIL and more. It is Mr. Harrison Crooks. Harrison, how are you doing? I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I just want to say that. I really appreciate it. I know we tried a couple times in the last couple of weeks in my schedule, and I was kind of busy and some stuff going on, but nonetheless, happy to be here, and thanks for having me. Not a problem. It's a pleasure to have you on. And, yeah, we're really looking forward to this because NIL is definitely impacting the sporting landscape across North America. So tell us, if you don't mind, how did you get into the space that you're currently in right now? Yeah, sure. I mean, I can go into that with a long and short introduction about myself. Harrison Crooks, born and raised Toronto, Ontario, Canadian boy, but now I'm based in New York City. I did my undergrad at Concordia University in Montreal. My brother went to McGill. He was always a smarter one. And graduated with a bachelor's degree in sociology and didn't really know what I wanted to do because I was an athlete for a majority of my life. I played basketball and soccer growing up. And my aunt, she was in the sports space. She was a 5-time Olympian, Charmaine Crooks. My dad, he was a high jumper. So sports kind of like ran in my blood and family. So after my undergrad, I graduated, I was like, okay, I got to do something that's sports related. So, you know, started researching sports management programs, whatnot in Canada and the US. And Canada doesn't have as much sports management programs as the US. So I decided to start applying to some schools, got denied by all of them except for one.
Long Island University in Brooklyn. They took a chance on me and accepted me. So I did my master's there in sports management. And I really got into NIL space before I graduate, entering the master's program. I knew nothing about NIL, like literally never even heard of it, didn't know what it was. I was like, okay, that's what is this? So as we started talking about it in class more, I found it really interesting that finally that college students are able to monetize off their name, image, and likeness, right? Because for years, you know, these college games and college athletic departments be making millions and millions of dollars off these players, and they're not getting paid anything, which obviously isn't fair and wasn't right. But in the last couple of years, you know, new laws have been introduced which allow students to monetize off their brand. And I think that's really important. And that ties into the content creation part of it, because when you start creating content, you start building your personal brand. That's when you're able to leverage off your social media and get those brand deals you want. So I just think it's a really interesting thing, and it's still like evolving. I'm still learning like more about it every day because I still am pretty new, and it's still a really, really new thing, but it's definitely very interesting. It's something to keep your eyes on in the future.
Absolutely. Now, for the time being, as I understand it, NIL is strictly limited to colleges in the United States, except for one college in Canada. Is that correct?
That's a good question. From my research I've done, that it's very hard to get NIL deals as a being in Canada. I do know, I was reading an article, I think I did a video about it a couple of weeks ago, about Zach Eady, who was able to find he had an immigration lawyer kind of find a loophole around getting NIL deals as an international athlete, because if you're born and raised in the US, it's very easy, but if you're an international student, it's hard because of the laws and whatnot. So it's definitely a tricky thing. I don't know much about what school in Canada allows NIL deals, but I will say this. I do think that Canada should implement laws which allow students and Canadian students to monetize off their brand, because it's, if you see, like, essentially it's the same thing as America, right? Like, they should be getting paid. Student athletes in Canada still generate a lot of revenue for college departments, so I don't see why not. They should be getting paid big bucks.
For sure. Now, just to add a little sauce to the conversation, my understanding is the only university in Canada that is eligible is Simon Fraser out in BC. Virtue of them being Division II in the NCAA. So that kind of gives them that is a little bit of a loophole there. But as you say.
For sure. And the way I see it is, like, obviously these schools aren't as big as, like, you know, big schools like Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, all that. But they're still generating a lot of money. So even if it's putting a little bit of money in students' pockets, then I don't see why they would not allow that, in my opinion. And one thing I definitely would like to in the future, as I build my career and build my page, whatnot, is definitely work on, you know, having this conversation with Canadian government potentially to allow these laws, unless before this happens, the law already gets passed or something, to allow students to monetize, Canadian students to monetize off their brand.
Yeah, I think that'll give youth sports in Canada a much needed boost, and it'll be better for the universities, for the athletes, it'll just be better for everyone in general. Now, I've got to ask, do you represent any athletes at the moment in
No, the US? I don't represent anyone. I'm not with agency. Right now, I'm currently intern with the Brooklyn Nets. I don't represent anyone right now. So my page, I state on my page that I don't represent anyone. I'm not associated with any agency or anything like that. So no, but in the future, I definitely would like to. That's where I want the path I'm trying to go down. But as of right now, no.
Okay. I like that you were the Nets, by the way. That's been my team growing up. So
Nice.
You can come back on anytime you want.
Yeah, Justin? So fun fact, when we were younger, my family, we used to visit New York all the time. We'd stay in New Jersey. And my dad, he would take us to the New Jersey Nets game. So it was just really cool seeing them play in New Jersey now, working for them, interning with them in Brooklyn. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I love that. That's a nice full circle moment there.
Brooklyn's got a team?
yeah, you wouldn't know with this.
I really don't want to laugh. I don't want to laugh because I don't want to get in trouble, but they have a team, yeah.
Okay. I haven't heard much lately, but first question, Harrison, Empire State Building or CN Tower?
CN Tower all the way. That's okay. I'm actually kind of ashamed you even asked me that.
All right. And it's early doors for the NIL. Do you think, like, how many years do you think it'll take before they kind of smooth things out? Because right now it's a bit crazy.
I think give it a couple more years, because there's still a lot of things people are learning about it. And like seeing, because, you know, when something new is introduced, people are always going to try to find a problem with it, right? And try to find a negative with it. And, oh, students are making too much money. They're going to spend it on this, blah, blah, blah. But I think that one part of it that can really help people feel more comfortable with it is giving students kind of financial literacy classes. I think, there's a lot of other content creators who I see give like financial literacy advice for student athletes, whatnot. And that's really important because I think that's one of the concerns of a lot of like parents and college departments. It's like students are going to get paid and then like start blowing all this money. But if they're trained and they're educated on what to do with the money properly, like invest and whatnot, then I think it can do good things. So I think we still got to give it a couple more years. I'm still learning about it, of course, but I think for people to get more comfortable with it, we have to see, just let it ride out and see what happens.
Now, are there any like student athletes that you've spoken with that are on the NIL system?
I've spoken with one. His name's Sean Kelly. We spoke maybe the other day. Not as like a, I don't represent him or anything like that. I just want to keep stating that so like I don't get in trouble at my work or anything like that. But yeah, I just spoke with him and like I just gave him the kind of like social. He already has like a huge social media following. He has like around like 3 million followers on TikTok and like, or no, sorry, 1 million followers on TikTok. I want to say 300 followers on Instagram. And he's doing a great job building his personal brand. So I spoke with him, and one of my things on my page is I'm always trying to strive. I'm always trying to help out like the underdog, so to speak, because, you know, we hear about like Bronny James, we hear about Livy Dunn, we hear about Angel Reese, all these big athletes, but there's still smaller schools with athletes who are, you know, creating content who are not getting as much attention, obviously, because of bigger schools. And the best example of that is this athlete named Connor Prince. He goes to, what's his name of school? Totally forget the name of the school. But it's not like a D1 school, nothing like that. He was like a bench player, and he's built a huge following on social media. And he actually quit playing basketball to pursue content creation full time because he's just been making that much money off it, and he's seeing how far it can take him. So I don't think you have to go to a big school or be the best player on the court. As long as you know what you're doing on social media and have a plan and have a content schedule, then good things can happen.
Now, I mean, obviously the player benefits. There are certain schools with deeper coffers that are benefiting. Which corporations, which organizations do you think benefit the most due to NIL?
I mean, I don't think it's just one. I think it's all, because I've seen multiple examples of students getting brand deals from like tech companies, from sports companies, from clothing companies, right? I think every corporation kind of tap into the NIL space if they have the right marketing tactics or right marketing strategies. And if that athlete aligns with their brand ideology.
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, first off, thanks for coming on the show. And secondly, have you seen, I don't know if you've watched it at all, but it's a guy named John Oliver. And in this, he actually talked about NCAA basketball and athletes getting paid for this. Have you seen that episode before?
I actually haven't seen that yet, no.
Totally recommend it. I can send it to you after. I just gave you a follow on Instagram. But anyways, he talks about kind of like the conspiracies that went behind it. And how certain athletes, like literally their face was used, but their name was changed slightly. So NCAA was just like, nah, that's not them. We just made this person up. But meanwhile, it looks just like the individual. It's really fascinating to kind of understand how, right? Especially since that was essentially, we can't pay them because they're students, to now it's like, hey, they got to get some money. So, I mean, it's great to see where it's going, but where would you like to see it in 10 years from now?
Well, like to go on to the first part, like it's crazy because like years ago, like a lot of athletes were getting kind of paid under the table, right? From like agents and like brands and whatnot. And then if they got caught, you know, they would get in trouble or get suspended for a bit. So it's obviously crazy how much it's changed. And to your second question, in 10 years, I think I would just like in 10 years, like all states have it legalized for students to benefit off their NIL. I think it's just that simple, right? I don't think there's anything else around it. I think that it's just fair that students start to make money, because at the end of the day, these students got to eat too. You know what I mean? Like a lot of them are living by themselves, you know, away from home, and a lot of them don't have the financial support, and NIL kind of gives the opportunity. So I think it would help out a lot of students and families in the long run. That's what I'd like to see in like 10 years.
Oh, 100%. Because I mean, let's say that the best college athlete unfortunately suffers an injury and then derails their pro career. It's not like they didn't do anything. It's not like that time and effort and energy went to nothing. They now kind of essentially have something to show for it in terms of financial stance, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Because like, there's like college is not cheap, right? Like it's expensive. Yeah. It's expensive to live in college, man. The food and bills and whatnot, you know, like these students got to eat too at the end of the day. They're no different than the people working in the front office at the college athletic department. You know what I mean? They're still human beings too. They got to eat. So I think what's fair is fair. I'm just that type of guy. I just think it's always about doing the right things.
If you sell tickets, you should get a portion of that. That just makes sense to me.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Yeah, but I just think a lot of people see it as like, oh, they're too young to be making this much money. But then a day, some athletes were finishing college, one and done, whatever, and going to NBA and making millions of dollars. What's different from that, from them making like, I don't know, $600 off a little grand? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. Keep in mind, post-secondary is a business. Like, let's be real.
Yeah,
exactly. With all due respect. So now being with the Nets and how all that started there, when did you start your internship?
I started there in October 9th.
October 9th. Oh, okay. So not too long
ago. I know, like, the exact... Oh, no. Was it October 9th? Yeah, October 9th. Yeah, October 9th.
Okay. So with this internship and the skills and stuff you acquire from this, are you essentially... like trying to move up that ladder to wherever you need to be, or like what's your pivot point from this?
Yeah, so I definitely would like to move into like the actual athlete marketing space, because right now the Nets, I'm in partnership marketing, which is very interesting and definitely learned a lot, and it's been a great experience. But I think my true passion, as you can see from my Instagram and whatever, is in athlete marketing and how to market athletes to get brand deals and how to build their personal brand and all that, because that's what I'm definitely very passionate about. But obviously, for the time being, Brooklyn Nets, definitely a great experience. It's been one of the, because it took me a while. The reason why I started this page is because in the summer, like, all the kids in my class graduated, got internships. For me, it was a little more different, because for me to work here in the United States, I needed to get a student OPT, which is like a post-graduation work authorization type thing. And it took like 4 months for me to get it. So it was like maybe June. I was like, okay, I'm just in this apartment doing basically nothing. I got to do something that's sports related that I'm passionate about. So started this page, was kind of tapping in. I was just kind of doing general sports stories, like sports news. And I was like, I should definitely niche it down to something more specific to get to like a target audience. So I started doing videos on NIL. And then I've definitely been posting consistently, because that's one of the most important parts of building like a social media following, is posting consistently. And yeah.
Damn right it is. Now, before I pass you off to Nee, has America shaped your way in how you view Tim Hortons?
Oh my gosh. I'm still a Tim Hortons guy. I'm not a fan of Dunkin' Donuts at all. But I will say this. Growing up and eating Tim Hortons is not the same anymore. I don't know what happened to it, but it definitely does not taste the same or hit the same anymore.
I get it. Maybe it's because I pay for it now and it's not free, so perhaps that's it. But
yeah, like, I don't know. I used to love the breakfast sandwiches there. They were fire. Like, I used to love the coffee there. Now it's just every time I eat there, I get like a stomach ache. So,
well, the thing was too, they switched up their coffee beans. They basically got the McDonald's one, and McDonald's got theirs, and now it's just a whole weird renegade thing going. I don't know when that contract's up, but McDonald's needs better coffee.
Yeah, even the donuts are just don't hit anymore. Honestly, we should just talk about Tim Hortons the rest of the time.
I mean, I'd be down. What about you, Nee?
Yeah, look, I got to say that coffee in North America is a bit mid. Y'all need to go find yourself an Australian that can make a nice flat white, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. But I will weigh in and say that Tim Hortons has fallen off a little bit. In terms of the eating options, the donuts aren't great. The breakfast sandwiches, it depends on the restaurant that you go to. But yeah, I'm not touching the coffee. I can't. I cannot. I don't know how folks can line up in the morning in the cold and just be getting that red cup of disappointment. It's a no from me.
Straight up. We just lost our sponsorship. Way to go, Nee.
Keep in mind, he is Australian, so the opinion doesn't count.
Got it. That too. I mean, New Zealand is the better place to be. Less things to kill you.
I mean, you're probably right. New Zealand is a nice part of the world, so I kind of get it. I get where you're coming from there.
To be fair, I'm still bitter about the time that we had an Australian guest, and you just completely forgot to introduce me. Just went straight into the questions, and I was like, all right, cool. I'm just going to head here. It's true. This happened.
Do you want me to bring up your Pascal Siakam takes? No.
Oh, 100%. You can. I have no shame about it.
Because they were shameful.
Anyway, that he didn't deserve the max contract? Tell me I'm wrong.
He 100% did. And every, as Harrison can tell you, every NBA team has a salary floor, so the Raptors had to spend. And he is showing his worth in Indiana. So
yeah, he's playing really well. He's playing really well in Indiana. I'm happy for him. I'm not going to lie.
This season he played well, and I was like, great. This is the only season he's actually lived up to the hype of his contract. And then we shipped him off.
When you threw him under the bus, he was playing in Tampa, which is outside of his home. The Raptors are the only team that were playing out away from their designated arena. Oh, no, you completely missed it with your take.
No, I was aware. But if he's getting paid all-star money, he should be playing at an all-star level all the time, regardless if he's at home or not.
You know what I'm hearing? You know what I'm hearing?
What?
What? That NHL energy. This is the nonsense energy that you apply to your Maple Leafs. NBA is a different... kettle of fish.
I like to think that since 2019, Raptors won a championship, that everything's just been a dream, honestly. The bubble never happened. None of that ever happened.
Yeah. I mean, they won, and then the world ended.
Yeah, so honestly. Pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yo, but they are the longest reigning champion of recent years.
And something I was thinking about the other day, we were the last team to win a championship before COVID-19. And I think that's really important when you think of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. We caused it.
Yeah.
the world came to an end. Yeah, that was an epic parade. Happy retirement to Marc Gasol, by the way.
Happy retirement.
And you are listening to the Pro Source Podcasters. We are talking with Harrison Crooks about everything and anything NIL. I'm your co-host, Neil Spruce, joined by Justin Williams and Corbett Arong. Harrison, I wanted to get into one of the biggest names in college sports, and that's Caitlin Clark. She just had one of her trading cards go for a record amount.
Yep. Just posted that video actually the other day. Yeah.
Exactly. That gave me a good prompt, by the way. So make sure you follow Harrison, by the way, on social media. He's always got good nuggets on the collegiate sports world. But yeah, just back to Clark. Iowa has had 19, I think they're going for 20 games sold out this season. She seems to be the biggest name in college sports. What's the outlook for her? I mean, the WNBA might be next, but she's already got a number of NIL deals in her hand.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's crazy because, like, if she were to go to the WNBA, she'd probably be making less money than she makes right now. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure, but that's just a prediction, right? Because, unfortunately, WNBA, they just don't make as much money as the NBA, which they should because these girls are super talented and whatnot. But yeah, I my prediction is she probably will go to the WNBA, but I don't think she'll play very long because she'll still be getting all these endorsements from off the court and whatnot. She'll be making a lot of money. So that's the way I see it with her, at least. And a lot of these other WNBA stars, college women's basketball stars, like Angel Reese, right? She also makes a lot of money. Can't say whether or not she'll go to WNBA. She'll play in WNBA, but she does. My prediction is she probably won't play long. Because, again, she's going to be making money off these endorsements off the court. So it's just like, I don't know. But obviously, it depends on how they are, right? If they care more about basketball than money, then they're going to play, right, for longer. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
I guess one question I have is, and an issue that we have seen with the WNBA is the limitation on the number of roster spots. We've seen teams drop players and unfortunately have to let them go not long after because there is a bit of a limit on the supply of roster spots. So could we see more players staying in school because of the benefits of NIL?
Like, I mean, that's if I were like a women's basketball, like that's what I would do, right? Because like you said, they're cutting rosters and whatnot because there's just not enough money, but you can only stay in school for so long, right? I mean, like, you can't stay 8 years in school. So like, I guess you kind of got to have a game plan after like you do your 4 years, whatnot, like, and go from there.
For sure. Now, someone who isn't staying in school is Coach K. And we're going to talk about the, I guess...
Exodus?
The exodus of coaches. We got Coach K in men's hoops. Nick Saban in men's football. Sorry, college football. Some of these older heads are leaving the game with the introduction of NIL. What is your take on that?
It's a good question. I mean... I wouldn't say maybe some coaches are leaving due to NIL stuff, but my other, part of me other things that like a lot of them are leaving because, you know, they've run their course and a very like successful course. Like Coach K is one of the best college basketball coaches of all time, if not the best, along with Nick Saban, one of the best college football coaches of all time. But maybe some, another part of me thinks that some of them are just, it's just a new thing for them, for all these students to be getting paid money. And maybe, again, just my opinion, they may be harder to control when they're making all this money. I don't know, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that. I get the sense that with not just NIL, but also the expansion of the transfer portal, that players have more independence. It's not a case of I come in and I do my time until I'm eligible to go to the pros. It's, well, if I don't like it here, I can just go somewhere else.
Exactly, right? Because exactly. Because you don't know how long a kid will stay there, right? He can just be there for 1 year, doesn't make him enough money, he's out. You know what I mean? So you can't depend on him. What if he's like a really good player and then he's not making enough money, and then, you know, so it creates a bunch of problems. So that could be a reason.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of movements in the transfer portal, what was your take on the Colorado Buffaloes and the Sanders revolution, if you will, last season?
Yeah, that was a huge move, right? I remember watching like the introduction video of Deion Sanders at Colorado, and it was honestly one of the most like inspiring videos I've watched in my life. I've never been the biggest college football guy or football guy even, but after watching that, it really motivated me, right? The way he walked in, his confidence, the way he spoke to his team, how they're going to be winners and all that stuff. And it was really cool to see like Deion Sanders go from a, you know, HBCU school to like a big, not the biggest school, Colorado Buffaloes, and they had obviously a terrible season prior to when he came, and it was just interesting. I mean, obviously they didn't live up to expectations, but you got to remember it's their first year together, right? New guys playing together, so I think people got to give them some time rather than just jumping into criticism. But again, that's what happens in like the journalism world, the quick to criticize anything, right? So all year Deion is just getting criticized by journalists, even other coaches sometimes, so it's just part of the game, you know.
For sure, yeah. Some people were just lining
up. But obviously, to add on to that, his son, Shador Sanders, makes a ton of money off NIL. I think he just bought his dad a house, right? So it's just, and he has like a Rolls Royce and all that. So it's just insane.
Hey, life's good. Life's good at Mile High, isn't it, Kobe?
100%, man. Of course, that's name recognition, right? You're going to get a certain degree of attention just because you're the son of, right?
That factors in.
Now, you said that you weren't that big a fan of football. What sports were you a fan of growing up? Obviously basketball, but what else?
Basketball. So before I played basketball, I played soccer, actually. I was really passionate about soccer. I was really good at soccer, too. but then, obviously, I was getting taller. I was like, hey, I probably should play basketball more. So started playing basketball, played high school basketball, did rep basketball. I did AAU for like a couple months. What else did I play? Track and field, because again, my dad was a high jumper and my aunt, she was a runner. So did track and field for like a year in like school. Not really a year, it was like a season, whatever. Wasn't a big fan of it. I don't know. Couldn't really get too into it. I still watch it in the Olympics. But I'd say basketball and soccer were my two main sports.
Now, this being an Olympic year, the one thing I kind of took from NIL when it was first introduced is, obviously, you're going to be paying big money to some of the biggest forts that are, you know, kind of being monetized by these universities. But I always thought that like track and field, those kind of Olympic style sports, mm-hmm. would really benefit from something like NIL, because it's primarily amateur athletes. And it's a sport that maybe, you know, a tenth of a percent actually make money otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah.
So do you see the colleges putting a fair amount of investment into that?
For sure. But I think for that to happen, you know, people just that you need a big name, or not, you don't necessarily need a big name, but it helps to have a big name in that space, right? Mm-hmm. To be honest, right now, I can't really name a big college track and field athlete off the top of my head. I don't know if you guys can, that's just me, but people can easily name a big basketball athlete, right? Like Bronny James, or even gymnastics, obviously, like Libby Dunn and people like Angel Reese. So I think it can happen, but you just need more attention on that sport, right? And I don't know what it's going to take for that to happen. I don't have the answer to that, but hopefully we'd definitely love to see that happen down the road, because these track and field athletes are definitely very talented and they should be making money just like the other sports.
Now, I've seen your X account. I'm going to assume that those are relatively recent pictures. I mean, you look like you keep yourself in shape unless you're posting stuff from way back when.
My X, my oh, Twitter account?
Yeah.
Oh, I honestly have not logged into my X account in months, but, and honestly, I don't know what picture you're talking about. I don't know if I want to know, but, but yeah, I try to, I've actually recently been hitting the gym a lot the last 2 weeks. I kind of made a promise to myself, like everyone, every New Year's, I'm going to hit the gym, but I'm actually doing it. So yeah, I try to stay in shape.
Now, we've talked to a number of New Yorkers, and there's this sort of debate between poutine and what they call a garbage plate. Have you had one?
So you know what's crazy? So in my class last year, we were talking. I was the only Canadian kid in my class, right? Around like 9 kids. We were talking about Canadian food, and I was like, "Yeah, have you guys ever had a poutine?" And everyone just looked at me as if I said some sort of like swear word or something. I was like, "Oh, it's like fries, gravy, and cheese curds," and they're like. And my professor was like, "Oh, you mean disco fries?" I was like, "Disco fries? What the hell is disco fries?" But I've never had a garbage plate, and I don't know why anyone would want to eat something called a garbage plate. So no, I've never had one. It'll always be poutine. I love poutine. I mean, I lived in Quebec for 5 years for school, so definitely fell in love with them there.
Okay, hold on. Is a disco plate anything different?
Apparently, it's just they use like cheddar. They use cheddar cheese or something and put it on top, which doesn't sound very appetizing in my mind. So, yeah, I don't know. They do it differently, but it's poutine or nothing for me.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Cheddar, what? What is it? Cheddar. Sorry,
cheddar cheese. Sorry, cheddar.
That just sounds absolutely gross.
Yeah. It's like it doesn't sound very good.
Not at all. Never once. Okay. So being in New York City, it's kind of the mecca of the comedy world. Have you been to the Comedy Cellar before?
Again, you know what's crazy? I was talking to someone last night and they were going to a comedy show. I was like, I really want to go to one and I'm planning on going to one like as soon as possible. My worst fear though is sitting in the front. I really do not want to get roasted. So I'm going to sit at the far back and then see what's good.
So it depends on the comedian you get. Some of them will actually hound the back. Like if the microphone is portable, they'll walk over, which makes much better.
Right. And like, I don't know what they can call out about me. I guess they just gather information as soon as you start talking and then they go from there. So I don't know.
Well, I can shed a little bit of light of that because I was part of a group that sold out Paradise Theater recently in Toronto. Okay. So what we as comedians do is first we look at you and go, this person looks interesting. And then we ask the basic, almost like, I don't know. A first date, if you will. And right. It's like, what do you do? Awesome. And if it's something unique, we're just like, oh, awesome. We're going to take from that angle. But if it's something generic, like I weld things and be like, really, you're a welder. I like to have people lie to me. I'm like, it's not going to wake up next to you in the morning and being like, you told me you were a pilot. Like lie to me, make it interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you make a lot of, do people make a lot of like, you know, offensive jokes type thing? Or do you try to keep it?
I don't make offensive jokes per se. I just kind of live through my own experiences and tell stories.
Right.
But right. I know other comedians who, when they attempt to, I don't know if you want to say freestyle, if you will, but they improv, it goes horribly wrong and you see their true personalities and you're like, oh.
Right. Yeah, that's not good.
To each their own.
Some people love it. Kobe loves offensive humor. That's it.
I mean, so honestly, so I love offensive humor.
There you go.
New York has taken you hostage.
Yeah, man.
But before we get you out of here, there's a few comedians I want to recommend to you. Mark Norman, he's amazing. He's a New York-based comedian. Nice. And Joe List, if you ever had a chance.
Nice.
Two hilarious individuals. And I guess Sam Morrell, too, because he's from there.
Nice.
So all three. All right, Mr. Harrison, before we get you out of here, we have, where can our family, friends, and my mother find you on social media?
You can find me on social media on Instagram at The Harrison Crooks, on TikTok, The Harrison Crooks, my main account, Harrison Crooks. I don't really post much on there occasionally, but yeah, that's where you can find me. I think, according to you guys, I have a Twitter account, so follow me on there too.
All right. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. Definitely look to talking to you guys again. This has been great. Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good chat, bro.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast.
For even more of your favorite sports content, be sure to visit the website www.prosportspodcasters.com.
On our website, you will find our sports blog, full podcast library, access to our YouTube channel, and deals from our affiliate partners.
You can also sign up to become a PSP Insider and get exclusive access to our insider tips, sponsor giveaways, and insider newsletter.
So don't miss out on the full Pro Sports Podcast's experience,
where no sport is left behind.